Welcome to Chapter 9. Chapter 9 is about freedom of information. The concept of freedom of information is that the public, including the media, needs to have access to what is happening in its government, whether that is going to public meetings or being able to access the documents that are generated in public meetings or in legislative sessions. All of that information is supposed to be available to us as the public and, of course, to the media. The cool thing about this chapter is that there are actually zero cases that I'm going to ask you to know about this chapter. We're only going to talk about the laws. That isn't to say that there are not cases that have to do with freedom of information at all levels of government, but I'm not going to ask you to be accountable for any of them. We are simply going to focus on the laws. Quickly, primer. Remember we talked about in Chapter 1 and Chapters 1 and 2 how our government is divided. Our government is divided into three branches: the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. The legislative branch makes the laws or legislates, and we have access to those records through FOIA laws. The executive branch executes or carries out the laws, and we have access to their records through the Freedom of Information Act and other laws. And the judicial act interprets the laws, which we read in cases. Okay? Each state has its own set of laws. I'm only going to ask you to be accountable for the federal ones and the state of California ones, but if you move to Missouri or Montana or Wisconsin or Michigan or Florida, you need to know those laws as well. There are two important federal laws of importance that we're going to talk about. First is the Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA, 1966, and the second is the Privacy Act of 1974, which we have also called FOIA for the individual. Those are the two primary laws we're going to talk about, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the other initiatives that our government has in place as well. Okay. When President Obama took office, one of the first things he did was say, I am going to be the most open government in history. I am going to be very transparent about what is happening in our federal government. All right, so on his first day of office, he signed an executive order directing all federal agencies to break down barriers to transparency, participation, and collaboration. He essentially said to these agencies, I want you all to play nice with each other. Share information with each other and with the public. Make sure that you provide that information, a lot of that information, on your websites, which governments are now doing, and presume that information should be open. The initiative he passed was the Open Government Initiative. It went into place in May of 2009, and it had specific orders and deadlines that included ways in which the government could provide information to the public. Information is now online in greater quantities than ever before. You might have heard of the WikiLeaks this summer, where all that information was posted online that was received, leaked actually, from some government organizations. You know, whether or not it's going to have any impact on national security is yet to be seen. But the notion is that information should be out there and should be available for us to consume. The information that is generated by the government, Obama has said, needs to be of high quality. And the entire culture of government should be open. The idea, again, is government in a fishbowl. We should be able to see exactly what our government is doing with our tax dollars. And to do so, Obama has also called for an enabling policy framework to provide open government. Now, the record is mixed. He's done some good things, but in many cases, he's done no better than some of his predecessors. So the jury is still out on whether or not Obama's administration will be seen as the most open in all of American history. All right, let's turn to the first most important act in this area, the Freedom of Information Act of 1966, otherwise known as 5 U.S. Code, Section 552. You don't have to know that. I will call it FOIA for the first letters of the words. Okay? The notion here is we presume openness. I'll say that again. A presumption of openness is supposed to be part of the public record. Okay? So if there is a record, unless the government has a good reason to keep it secret, the idea goes that it should be released to us. In 2007, there were 21.4 million FOIA requests made of all the executive agencies. Each of them files a public report. So all that information is available and out there for you to take a look at. There are, however, 9 major exemptions to prevent the disclosure of information that might endanger our national security or invade someone's personal privacy. We'll talk about each of those 9 exemptions in a few minutes. FOIA has been amended a number of different times. The first early amendments lowered some of the search and duplication fees and provided some waivers that you can ask for if you are working in the public interest. In 1986, there were some fee schedules that were adjusted, and the two most important amendments are the Electronic Freedom of Information Amendments that we'll talk about in a little bit, and some additional toughening of the law in something called the Open Government Act. And we'll talk about those last two a little bit later on. Okay? And there is right now a bill in Congress called the Faster FOIA Bill. We don't know if it's going to pass or not. It's a bill in Congress that's essentially trying to speed up the rate at which the government releases information to us. We don't know if that's going to pass yet, but it's on the horizon. Okay. Where does the Freedom of Information Act apply? It applies to agencies, departments, and government-controlled corporations of the executive branch of the federal government. States have their own rules. We'll talk about Brown and Begley-Keene at the end of the chapter. So again, agencies, departments, and government-controlled corporations, executive branch, federal government. State Department, FBI, FCC, FTC, SEC, Post Office, Department of Defense, Federal Aviation Administration, Food and Drug Administration, etc., etc. If it is in the executive branch and it's a federal agency like all of these, Freedom of Information Act applies. It does not apply to the president and the president's staff or his, currently all presidents have been men, consultants. So you can't FOIA the president's breakfast menu. It does not apply to Congress. It does not apply to the federal courts. And it doesn't apply to private corporations. So you can't FOIA the Gap or McDonald's for any of their records. It only applies to agencies, primarily agencies, but also Department of Government Control Corporations, executive branch, federal government. Okay? So it's a big act, but it is a limited act. How do you exercise your rights? Well, I'm going to quick tell you a little story about how I first exercised my rights in an academic setting. One of the areas I'm really interested in is indecency law. How does the government regulate indecent or sexual speech or actions on broadcast media? We'll be talking more about it when we get to Chapter 11. So I decided I wanted to look at denied indecency requests after Janet Jackson's, wardrobe malfunction that we'll talk about in Chapter 11. So I decided that the Freedom of Information Act could be useful for me in asking the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, for these documents. So I made a phone call to the FCC. It was the first thing I did. Okay? I made an informal phone call. I said, can I actually get this information? I'm interested in this sort of information. I want all denied indecency complaints from 2000 to 2005. And the Freedom of Information officer was very nice, but he said, I need you to put your request in writing. Now I think they're all starting to say, put your request in writing and email it to me. So I did. I wrote a letter, and the letter asked for all these denied indecency complaints. Okay? And I requested a response within 10 days. Now, they don't always follow the deadlines, but I got a response, I think, within a month, which isn't so bad. They emailed me. They called me. They said, just so you know, we are able to get this information to you, but it's going to cost thousands of dollars because we have to redact or black out personal information. Okay? We can't tell you who has complained. We can only tell you about the complaints themselves. But it just so happens that 1 year's worth of complaints were already paid for by an attorney, the redaction costs. So you can get them for free. I said, free is good. Why don't you send me those? Okay? So if I had been denied, I could have appealed to the FCC chairman. At the time, it was a guy named Kevin Martin, who we'll meet a little bit when we get to Chapter 11. And if I had been completely denied and I would have had the time and energy, I could have sued in federal court. Okay? But again, most of the time, the information is, they want to give you that information and they don't want to necessarily have to take you to court. The best resource, if you're interested in doing something like this, is the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, and there's their website. One of the things that's really important to remember, however, is to be clear how much you are willing to pay. It is not a cheap date sometimes to get information from these federal agencies. Somebody has to go through with a Sharpie pen and black out all that personal information. So it is important to find out how much it's going to be and how much, you know, you can get for a discount. I asked for freebie, and I got freebie stuff because they were able to send me everything electronically. Okay, and I'm a college professor. I'm not really trying to make money on this. A friend of mine in graduate school had been in a negotiation with the FBI, or maybe it was the Drug Enforcement Agency, and my graduate student colleague was going to get a bunch of documents from them. And just before they were going to mail them out, they said, well, you know, you need to be home on this particular day, and you need to have a certified check ready for us for $25,000 or something like that. And my friend was like, what, WTF? You know, I don't have $25,000. Never mind. So, you know, if those documents had showed up and he would have owed the government $25,000, he would have been a very unhappy camper. So you need to be sure that you find out what things cost, and, you know, free is always the best. Okay. Let's talk about the 9 exemptions. Now, on an exam, I will never ask you, you know, to list the 9 exemptions because, you know, you can always look those up. But I may ask you to understand how the exemptions work, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. First of all, national security. That is the one that is hardest to dispute. How do you know if something is endangering the national security of the country unless you're able to see it? So it's really hard to file suit if you get denied under Exemption 1. Agencies, by the way, do have to tell you when they're denying your request for a record, and they also have to tell you under what exemption. So, for example, under my FCC request, if there had been a question of national security, they could have said, we deny you the records under Exemption 1. Okay? So, it's difficult to dispute this, but, you know, it's one that sometimes a lot of records get denied under. That whole WikiLeaks thing, the argument was that a lot of that stuff would have been under Exemption 1. The only thing the agency has to do is say, this is the classification of the documents, and you don't meet our classification. So that's all they have to do. They can say Exemption 1, and you're pretty much out of luck. Exemption 2 is called Internal Rules and Practices. You cannot find out, for example, how the DEA decides what drug cartels to bust. Okay? Anything that might provide information on how an agency makes its decisions on who to prosecute or how to investigate is not going to be available because they need to keep that stuff secret so when they're doing the investigations, they don't tip their hand. So you can be denied under Exemption 2 if you're asking for information about investigatorial or prosecutorial practices. Exemption 2 is divided into High 2 and Low 2, which is one of the issues that is before the Supreme Court this year. High 2 information is stuff that's really critical to the agency. Low 2 is like stuff that isn't necessarily critical to be released, and that's something that some circuits recognize and others don't. The Supreme Court is taking the case to decide whether or not High or Low 2 is a distinction that should be made. Okay? All right. Number 3, statutory exemptions. Some laws have exemptions written into them that say the Freedom of Information Act does not apply. Okay? So, for example, the tax code has a provision that says that you cannot get anybody else's tax return. Even though that's public information in a sense, you cannot get that information except in the aggregate. Because that information, frankly, is private information and it's built into the tax code. If you're interested in this, I have a whole list of statutory exemptions that I'll make available that have, you know, a bunch of different ways and places, and some of that is written in the most current edition of the book as well, what the statutory exemption 3s are. Okay. We're a third of the way through. Let's turn to number 4. Trade secrets. We're going to talk more about trade secrets in Chapter 6, but basically a trade secret protects a food formula, like the formula for Coke or the Colonel's, you know, 11 herbs and spices in the Kentucky Fried Chicken, or the formula for Dr. Pepper. You know, also things like profit and loss statements if they're privately held companies, customer lists, all that stuff. So you cannot use the Freedom of Information Act to get information about a trade secret. And in fact, companies can file something called a reverse FOIA suit. If they think that there's a concern that information might be released that they don't want released, they can sue the agency to keep the information private. Okay, it's called a reverse FOIA suit, and those get filed all the time if companies are worried that their private information might get released. Exemption number 5 is executive privilege. The bottom line rule for executive privilege is that the public is able to see final reports, or what they call post-decisional reports, fancy way of saying the end product, and not pre-decisional documents. They want the rationale behind this is that the government wants to be free to discuss different outcomes and different ways of getting to a final solution without having to worry about draft documents leaking out to the public. Okay? So things that are memos and reports that are pre-reports or drafts of reports probably are not going to be able to be released to you, but you should be able to get final reports, or what they call post-decisional reports. Okay, over halfway through. Personal privacy. All right, personal and medical files. So you cannot FOIA, for example, you know, the FCC chairperson's medical records, job evaluations, any of that stuff that would be an invasion of someone's personal privacy cannot be withheld or cannot be released. So, for example, when I received my documents from the FCC, they had gone through and crossed out the names of the people who had complained, as well as their addresses and phone numbers and email addresses, so I couldn't bug them. Now, I'm here to tell you that the redaction process is not perfect. I happen to know the name and address of somebody, some guy in Georgia, who filed a complaint. So the person who took the Sharpie marker and went through and blacked out all the information didn't do it perfectly. But, you know, I'm not going to bug that guy in Georgia. But that's the notion, is you're not supposed to be able to get that personal information. And they're supposed to redact it or remove it. Exemption 7. Information about law enforcement investigations can be released to you, but it's subject to a whole lot of exemptions here. Okay? Interfere with law enforcement. So you can't get information that would enable someone to interfere with law enforcement, or would deprive a person of a fair trial, be an invasion of privacy, disclose the identity of a confidential source or material in a case, disclose guidelines for law enforcement or prosecutions, or endanger the life or physical safety of any individuals. And they will actually break out the denial that way. They'll say, well, you can't get the information on the drug bus because exemption 7A. Okay, so they'll actually break it down for you that way. More information is withheld under exemption 7 than any other exemption in the Freedom of Information Act. Exemption 8, banks. In order to prevent another Great Depression, information about the financial solvency of banks is exempted under Exemption 8. Now, you might wonder at the wisdom of this, you know, in the wake of the whole, you know, bust that we had a couple of years ago in the reception, where a lot of these banks were going under because of all the, you know, the bad loans they were putting out, but there it is. And finally, Exemption number 9 is oil wells, because they don't want people going in and squatting on, you know, geographic information, getting geographic information and going out and poaching oil wells. Okay? Again, on an exam, I'm never going to ask you to list any of the freedom of information, because you can look all that stuff up. But I do need you to understand, for example, what a statutory exemption might be, or, you know, why exemption, how exemption 2 works or exemption 5 works. Okay? And I'm never going to trick you. If I say Exemption 8 is banks, that's what it is. And again, more information is withheld under Exemption 7 than under any other exemption.